Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, to please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. You can also hit us up on the text line, man, or leave us a voicemail. 704-946-6060. That's 704-946-6060. I respond to everything. So, you know, if you want to be interactive, man, we welcome that and we enjoy it. So 704-946-6060. Hit us up. Also, be on the lookout for our new merchandise store coming later this quarter. We're going to have a pretty good selection of brand new merchandise that we're going to be selling, that is podcast branded and some other things as well. So we appreciate your support in advance. Buy about 40 or 50 of them joints when we launch. We'd appreciate that. Now, without further delay, let's get this thing rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who's a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal? Space Age Nuclear Molecular Pimpin'.
What's up, Fresh? I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, man.
Hey, man.
What's up with the adjective?
I had to put extra emphasis on your pimping. You know, we had that show where we talk about stuff like that, right? I had to put extra emphasis on your pimping.
Wow. Okay.
That otherworldly pimping that you be doing, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, super galactic.
That's what I'm saying. You are otherworldly. That Death Star pimping.
Face cowboy.
Jedi pimping.
Okay.
Man, what we got going today, man?
Man, we're talking about some funny shit, literally and figuratively. Top 10 comedians.
Top 10 black comedians.
Black comedians.
There's emphasis on black. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. If you haven't gathered by episode, whatever this is.
If you hadn't gathered by the intro.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we like to accentuate our culture, man. And, you know, being able to entertain and being able to look at life from a comedic perspective and laugh at the shit that's the hardest to laugh at,
right,
is an art form. And, you know, we want to accentuate our culture on as many fronts as we possibly can. That's why we have these top 10 lists. And we always get a lot of feedback off these joints, man. I swear to you, man, I still get texts from our top 10 MC show, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy, man. And for the most part, man, people are really, I'm going to be honest with you, man. And you know, I give credit where credit is due.
Be honest, man.
I'm going to be honest. Motherfuckers agree with you a lot on that Biggie shit, man.
Damn. Ladies and gentlemen.
They do,
please,
man.
What
they
is
do.
This? They whatever they episode really, is going to really be, man.
They really agree with you on that Biggie shit, man.
And wow.
I still disagree wholeheartedly, and it's not to say, I mean, I had him in the top 10, so it's not like I didn't think he was a dope MC, but yeah, people are really agreeing with you on that, and let me tell you, man, another show that I'm getting like crazy texts on is the top 10 non-singing.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew that was going to be
bro,
next.
Let me tell you, man, and the funny thing about the interaction that I get engaged in for that particular show, people don't really ask questions. They just like make proclamations.
Comment.
You know
comments.
What I'm saying? They just like, you know, it's almost like it's a Facebook post or something. They don't necessarily ask a question. They just make a proclamation about how crazy it is or how funny it is or to say, you know what, I didn't think about it, but y'all are right. You know what I'm saying? Y'all some crazy ass motherfuckers, whatever, whatever. you know, don't expect to be invited to Mary J. Blige's New Year's Eve party or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They something else, man. So if you haven't listened to either one of those shows, man, check it out, because it's seriously some comedy on the top 10 non-singing female R&B singers. We had a guest, Charles Crouch, on there who was on the show once before, promote this book. Real smart musical brother, man. Funny as shit. The show is crazy, man. So, but anyway, we're going to move on to what we're here to discuss right now, man. We're going to do top 10 black, I guess it's going to be male comedians, but I don't have any females on my list, even though I probably could have put some on there. But I really think that if you have them on there, leave them on there. I didn't put any on mine because I thought that perhaps when we discussed doing the show, we were just going to do males, because we do normally do male, female, like we did top 10 female MCs, things that. So that was the perspective in which I was looking for. But if you have a female that is included in your top 10 overall, definitely shout her out, man, because we want to give credit where credit is due. So I'm going to let you start off, man, and we're going to go number for number. You tell me your 10, I'm going to tell you my 10. You can go with your honorable mentions and shit first. I give you my 10.
Yeah, so, all right.
Don't take all motherfucking day.
I ain't going to take all day, but I have a number of honorable mentions, because I think with most black households, man, we really grew up listening to a lot of comedy shows and that type of thing, and it's just really too many to mention. So, but I have to at least give these honorable mentions, because I think they deserve a nod if they're not on your top 10 list yourself, 10 of your favorites. But in no particular order, honorable mentions, I grouped the Wayans family, okay? Keenan Ivory, Marlon.
Okay, I got you.
Those guys, Sean and Damon. I mean, individually, not so much, but what they did with the industry, I think In Living Color was probably the best. I mean, you can't really light a fire to that, what they did and who they put on from that. Jim Carrey came out of that, J-Lo, Jamie Foxx, David Alan Greer. I mean, that was phenomenal. And I think that was one of the greatest comedy sketches of all time. Chris Tucker, when Chris Tucker came through in the early 90s, Def Comedy Jam, I think everybody waited to see if he was going to be on Def Comedy Jam back in the 90s. And of course, he was the headliner for Friday, which was one of the groundbreaking movies of his time as far as black cinema. So Chris Tucker really made me laugh. Paul Mooney didn't make my top 10. I really didn't know about Paul Mooney until later. Actually, Dave Chappelle put him on some skits, and I really didn't get a vibe for him. But I understand that he wrote for Red Fox and Richard Pryor, so he was really the mastermind behind a lot of the greats. So I had to give him a nod. Jamie Foxx. Jamie makes me laugh. The cat is he can do anything, man. And of course, he got his start on Living Color. I think Jamie is just a funny cat. Eddie Griffin is another dude I got to give a nod to. His antics, the way that he tells a story. Aries Spears. I like Aries Spears. He's one of the few impressionists.
Master impressionist. Yeah. Dude. I honestly feel like that this dude can do.
He can do anybody.
He can do anybody, man.
I've heard.
I mean,
him.
It's like he may be doing Fresh right now.
Right.
That's just how good he is.
And he's funny.
he's funny as hell too.
And he has an actual, you know, like a well rounded show that he can give you outside of his impressions as well. I think he's just a funny cat. And I have four females: Monique, some more, Adele Givens, and Moms Mabley, man. Moms Mabley is old school. Actually, Whoopi Goldberg did a documentary on her back in 2013 that I think is worth watching. I forget the name of it, but she's an old school, very dry. Sort of reminds me, she's like the female Red Fox, man. Yeah, my mother used to always talk about Moms Mabley. That was like one of her favorites growing up. And I didn't really know who she was, but really a funny old lady, man.
The one on the page too, man.
On Esther.
Yeah, I mean that was funny lady, man.
She was hilarious, funny. Man. But so that's my honorable mention list.
Okay.
So we'll just go tip for tat.
Can I put my honorable mention on there?
Oh, okay. Too? I didn't know you had.
You know, as I was writing, I was thinking as well, you know, trying to, you know, come up with the most authentic list that I possibly could. It's pretty much the same as yours, except I have Michael Che and Cat Williams on my honorable mention. So,
okay.
So let's go straight to the top 10.
All right.
Number 10.
Go ahead, man.
My number 10 is Steve Harvey. And I know a lot of motherfuckers don't like Steve Harvey. I'm not really sure why people would be opposed to winning, because a brother be winning. And, you know, and it's not like that, you know, you got to like somebody to recognize the fact that they made the most of everything that was given. You know what I'm saying? And he just happened to be funny, you know, kind of down home, aw shucks, kind of, you know, backyard barbecue funny.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? So, but I respect, I don't know. I don't want to go as far as admiration per se, because, you know, his personality does hit me the wrong way as well. So, but I will say this, I don't knock a man's hustle at all. And I recognize when somebody is maximizing every single thing that they've been given.
Now, talking about income stream, I mean, you know,
I'm telling you, so this, you, I mean, you talk about multiple streams of income. Yeah. This motherfucker got this shit down pat. So the hustle, I kind of respect the hustle more than the actual person, because I don't know the person. You know what I'm saying? I only know what he projects, and I don't necessarily feel what he projects as a person per se. But I do, from the comedy stuff that I have seen, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And okay. So, you know, and I, it's enough to make him one of the 10 best that have ever got on the stage in my mind. The fact that he has taken his comedy and he's pretty much the same in everything that he does, and he has branded that particular persona into the multiple streams of income that he has. Mm-hmm. I can't hate on that shit. I don't care how I feel about you. It's like, you doing it, big ups, get your motherfucking money, and I'm good with that.
Does it make you laugh?
He does make me laugh. Okay. His stand-ups made me laugh.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not necessarily tuning in to all of his other things that he does. I used to listen to the morning show pretty regularly, but I'm no longer in a car when he's on now. So
yeah.
But again, like I said, I mean, I definitely respect the talent. I respect the hustle. So regardless of how, you know, I don't know him personally, so I can't really say I don't like him because of this, that, the third. I'm just saying it's kind of off-putting, some of his attitudes on some things. So,
right. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that shit don't matter, because funny's funny.
Yeah, I mean, Steve didn't make my list, but you know, I like Steve. I like Steve more. Like you said, he seems like, you know, the guy at the cookout or something that's going to say something. I like him on Family Feud, and I think that's where he's very natural.
Right.
And I appreciate his hustle as well. My number 10 was one of his partners in Original Kings of Comedy, Bernie Mac. And I think Bernie
that low, huh?
Bernie is, God rest his soul. He would still be doing it, I think, if he was here. I like the fact I've seen some of his documentaries. I'm not sure if it was Unsung or something else. But it seems like he did a lot for people, too. Comedians that came through, and he's earned a lot of respect. And I think, you know, he came on, like Steve, sort of came on later in his life. So let me ask you this. Sort of put in that work.
Let's back up a little bit, because normally when we do a top 10 list, we talk about what our criteria is. Did you have any specific criteria in how you rank these comedians?
Honestly, no. I first thought, who makes me laugh? Because that's what comedy is, right? It's satire. I mean, that's their job. And it didn't have to be whether or not they were stand-up or, you know, how they made me laugh or find them funny. But that was the first, I think, probably 80% of it, bro, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. The laughter,
my favorites.
Yeah, the laughter portion of it was kind of... you know, the main thing, you know what I'm saying? Make the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was the main thing for me. But I did have to, you know, because we have a large faction of people that listen to us because of our social commentary. And, you know, we are socially aware, if you will, as far as being hosts of the podcast or whatnot. That always factors into my choices. It's like, mm-hmm. how fucking black are you? You know what I'm saying? Okay. I mean, that always factors into it. So some of my choices are going to reflect that. So, but at the same time, they're funniest shit, though, for real.
Yeah, for those of you that may not understand that, what Fresh just said, consciously black, because in that case, Bernie Mac would be number one.
Yeah, right.
You were talking about color.
Right.
No, skin color, yeah, but yeah, exactly. I'm just clarifying, but... but one, not really a criteria, but I will add real quick.
Consciousness wasn't the main thing, though. I'm just saying that it factored into making the list or not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Funny was overall.
Okay. One thing I find as I went through my list, the first five from 10 to 6 were more a stand-up appeal for me. And 5 to 1 was not only stand-up, but had more than just stand-up. They were more an institution of comedy.
Yeah, and you know, indirectly, I think mine are going to end up being that way too.
Okay,
I didn't really think of it like that, but I didn't rank them like that. But I think we're probably going to be close. Go ahead, man. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay, so your number 9.
My number 9 is Dave Chappelle.
Okay,
and he's not higher because honestly, I've forgotten about Dave Chappelle, and it's not because of his greatness. It's just that I didn't really become a Dave Chappelle fan until after the Chappelle Show was actually gone, because I never watched it.
Really?
Never watched it. Wow. So when I went back and started binge watching shit, I became a fan.
Oh.
And so, you know how we talked about in some of the other stuff that we've done, it's like, did they make you love comedy? Did they make you, Dave Chappelle didn't make me love comedy anymore than what I already loved it. But the genius of the shit that he did automatically put him in the top 10.
Right.
The more recent stand-up that he did for Netflix kind of solidified.
It's hilarious.
It's some raw shit. So I mean, yeah, he's that brother touched, but I'm just saying he is seriously funny. And so you have to be in a certain mind state to actually receive what the hell he's saying. And evidently, I'm in that mind state because I laugh my black ass off.
Yeah.
So, based on the fact that, and I know he was in a couple of movies and stuff like that, and movies that I saw and that I liked, I just didn't think of him as the power,
right,
that he is right now. I never thought of him that way until I went back and watched all the Chappelle Show shit that is like utterly fucking brilliant. It's Key and Peele before Key and Peele.
I was on that Comedy Central stuff.
I'm telling
right
you,
when he came out.
I'm telling you, it's Key and Peele before Key and Peele. And I understand why he was saying, I had to watch these motherfuckers do my show.
Yeah.
Because they really did. And it's not taking anything away from Key and Peele.
Like Key
and
Peele.
What I'm saying? And it's not taking anything away from him. But I'm just saying, Dave Chappelle, you know, he invented that shit. So.
That's what's up.
But then again, like I said, he got a lot of his shit from In Living Color too, man. The way that it was, you know, pushed out, the way that it was rolled out in the presentation. It was a lot of In Living Color in that shit to me as well.
Somebody had to start something, you know.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying he's utterly brilliant. I love his style, and I'm a fan now. Like I said, the things that he did and his consciousness. People don't understand exactly how conscious this motherfucker really is. That really, you know, for you to walk away from the kind of money that he walked away from for the sake of his, not only his peace of mind, but from his creative autonomy. And, you know, for to be able to say, you know what, fuck you and your 8 figures.
Yeah.
That's some. And then to come back and get all that money back.
And get it back.
And get it all back.
Bigger and stronger.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that shit automatically, you know, you endear yourself to me in a major way when you say fuck all of y'all and then come back and get all the goddamn money. I like that shit. So, but anyway, your number 9.
My number 9 is Sid Entertainer. Sid just makes me, he makes me laugh, man. He's been around for a minute, and I think Sid, I hadn't had the chance to see him live, but when I've seen him on a few of his stand-ups, and even today, he's on CBS on a sitcom every week. The cat just makes me, his facial expressions, his jokes, is similar like Steve when you talk about that cat. He's like that uncle playing dominoes or something, that'll just cut a joke or something. And, you know, little oversized, overweight cat that, you know, I like his swag. And how he tells a joke is just funny to me, man. I don't know how else to put it, but said he's been around a couple of movies as well that I think he's been pretty consistent with the roles that he takes, and he inflicts some comedy everywhere he goes.
Said's a little bit higher on my list, man, but
okay.
But yeah, we'll keep going. Who's your number eight?
Eight is D.O. Hughley. So my 10, 9, and 8 were essentially original Kings of Comedy that was actually shot here in Charlotte back in 99.
Yeah, I remember the show. I was there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
I went to the show. Okay, I know some folks that was there, too.
Yeah.
But, D.L., I mean, D.L. actually could be higher on my list, but D.L., I think, is probably the most natural cat that can sort of rip you. Like, you don't want to sit in front seat, you know, front row with him. He has a way of just being very quick on his feet,
right,
to me. And I think that's one thing that I appreciate with comedy is, you know, he can play the dozens, you know what I'm saying, and come back at you. He's never been corny, even when he had his show. And I think Bernie said, Steve, these guys had their own personal shows. And even with his show, I think to an element, he still was funny. His show could have been a little bit better. The Hughleys or what have you, but
what was good what was good about that particular showman is that he had it before a lot of people were really getting those shows too.
Yeah, you're right.
It was kind of pioneering, you know, taking it from.
He had it in the 90s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in the 90s, man. So, you know, I mean, you know, Martin had his joint.
Yeah.
You know, but for him to get on, he was on freaking ABC.
Okay.
And so
that's something
pretty
a little different. Yeah, yeah, it ain't like WB or nothing.
Right. So it was a little different.
And going to your criteria piece, I like his conscious mindset. He continues to speak on his show. I don't listen to his show. Like you say, I'm not in the car or anything. I don't listen to radio that often. But he's been, in social media, he speaks out against black issues and concerns. And I really appreciate him for that as well. So
he's a little higher on my list. He's a little higher on my list. So I'll speak to it when I get there. But my number seven...
No, you got to do eight.
Oh, I got to do eight? My number eight is Dick Gregory. And the reason why he's in my top 10 is because not only the fact that he's funny as shit, or he was funny as shit, rest in peace, but the consciousness, he was talking about conscious shit when it was dangerous to talk about conscious shit.
Right.
So I'm just saying you automatically get my respect when you're literally putting your life on the line. Because, you know, he was working in places that he had to go in the back door.
Yeah.
And shit like that. So.
Got an all-white audience.
All-white audience. And talking about how fucked up white people are.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, I mean, for you to pull your dick out and put it up on the stage like that, you get my respect. You know what I'm saying? Top 10 worthy. Only reason why he's not a little higher, even though I've seen a lot of his material, is because I didn't really grow up with it to be able to absorb it the way that I needed to absorb it. He had to be
true.
You know, he had to be on to bigger and better things outside of comedy by the time I caught up.
Yeah.
Just for the simple fact of my age. You know what I'm saying? So but mad respect to Dick Gregory, man, on a lot of different fronts, man. On a lot of different fronts. But,
definitely, yeah. I mean, rest in peace to the frat. And I had a chance to actually see him and meet him a few years ago in Charlotte. But I don't have him on my list because I didn't think of him as a comedian, but he really was funny as hell.
He's funny as shit, dude.
He was more of a social activist. I mean, hell, he ran for president, but even at his show, he used to infuse comedy But I think his message to me was I would leave more from a...
It was always socially conscious.
Yeah, socially conscious, more so. That's all.
And he never changed that shit, so...
But
you know,
he was funny as hell. If you YouTube some of his shit,
that's what I'm telling you, man.
He really was a funny cat, man.
Right. So my number seven is Paul Mooney. He was on your honorable mention list, and we talked about that. I put him up there for kind of the same reason why I put Dick Gregory in the top 10. It's because, you know, he put in some serious work, not only for the culture, but for our people over the course of decades, you know, in regards to staying awake, you know, speaking against things that were going on in Hollywood. You know, I mean, he's a freaking legend. Not only is he a comedic genius, you know, writing, you know, staying behind the scenes and writing and stuff, but I'm just saying, he was always outward and still is outwardly speaking about fucked up shit in the entertainment industry, Hollywood, and just socially, you know, altogether. So, you know, for being a pioneer and being, being behind some of the, you know, some of the greatest acts in entertainment, you know, he was behind the scenes a lot. I put him up there to put him, take him from behind the scenes. So maybe somebody will, you know, go and really check him out, because he's out there, man. You can, I mean, he might even have a damn DJ Vlad interview. Paul Mooney be getting around, bro.
Yeah,
Paul Mooney be getting around.
Watch him.
He is immersed in the culture. He is a cultural savant. You are not.
I think his
you are not ahead of the culture. You are not ahead of Paul Mooney. You know what I'm saying? He is out in front of the culture. He knows everything about black culture. So, motherfuckers need to check him out for real.
His health is deteriorating a little bit, but you're right. He's still out there. I'll see a post every once in a while, and he keep it black, man.
Black as fuck.
He keep it black. I just wish he and some others would have really laid down an institution for the Kevin Harts and Tiffany Haddishes. Mm-hmm. Some of these younger, to where. It made it easier transition into Hollywood.
Let me tell you, I think that the reason why he tried to do that shit, but I think that just like we talked about before, it all comes down to the butter biscuits, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, well,
it comes down to the butter biscuits.
I think it could have been some changes, some.
But the people who are going to be beneficiaries of the changes have to actually accept it. They got to see the value in that particular path. You see what I'm saying? So I don't think that everyone saw the value of that, and that's their choice. But I think that the butter biscuits would get you. That's why.
But butter biscuits got them.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why Kevin Hart's every fucking where.
That's why I say I wish.
You know what I'm saying? I
wish he was.
Is Kevin Hart on your honorable mention?
Because, no.
Okay, is he in your top 10?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, my number seven was Cat Williams.
Okay.
Cat, I don't think, I can watch any of his Pimp series stand-ups right now and laugh like it's the first time. He's just that funny to me. You look at him, I mean, $5.55,
if that,
$1.35, whatever. And he just looks animated to me.
I always think about Cat Williams getting his ass whooped by some dude, some little young dude. And I think it was in Atlanta on YouTube. Man. I will say this, man. He's in my honorable mention, but I will say the last show that he did when he was in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
That last special, that shit was funny.
Was hilarious.
That shit was funny as hell. I will give him props. That shit has made me laugh a lot.
And to me, I, you know, recently he was in the news a few months back talking about he was on a Atlanta station, and he and I don't know
he
a
and
name
and a girl went back and forth.
Yeah, went back and forth. Yeah, but he was on some real shit. And actually talking about Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish, he was saying how he controls a lot of the stuff that he does, and
a lot of his numbers were off, though, man. I mean, that's.
But I think his premise was there, and he was just, to me, you know, he came across like a real dude, and I think he gets a lot of respect because of how he sort of comes off straight up. On top of that, but Cat just makes me, I mean, he just makes me laugh, man. Mm-hmm. My number six was I think your number nine or so, Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. And I have Chappelle probably in the middle of the pack because I like what he created with the Chappelle Show, to what you said earlier, sort of picked up from where In Living Color left off in the 90s. He could sit there. I appreciate anybody can sit in front of an audience of white folks and Asians or whatever, a mixture, diverse audience, and talk some black shit and be like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? He just a very dry humor. But he's that cousin that you would trip out with. I mean, no holds barred, just very creative at the same time. And I like how with his show, how he infused hip hop. He always had like a guest like Talib Kweli, Mos Def.
And that's like I said, because I told you I wasn't a watcher of the show. For whatever, I'm not sure why I wasn't up on it, but I always liked the fact that he dropped, you know, other elements of the culture, you know, within that, even in his skits.
Yeah.
Like obviously, you know, with the Rick James shit. The Prince shit, that's classic, man. The R. Kelly video, the pee on you shit. You know that, I mean, dude, that shit is like, yo, that
I forgot.
I mean, the way that he was just blatantly just, I mean, it's fucking genius.
I mean, so he crossed a line with stuff.
He could cross a line on a lot
and,
of shit.
And might I add, he was a big Erykah Badu fan like myself. He had Erykah Badu. And that block party, he had The Roots, Common, Jill Scott. So I liked his appreciation for hip hop as well. But Chappelle's just that cat that I think that everybody loves. He has crossover appeal without really crossing over. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Without sacrificing himself, if you will.
All right, man. For my number six, man, I got a tie because I was really kind of.
You can't have ties in top 10.
Well, it is what it is. So.
We're at 6A, 6B, 6A, 6B. Or 5, 6 tie.
I mean, it's a 6A, 6B.
You got two sixes?
Yeah, two sixes.
Disney.
So. I got Martin Lawrence and Chris Rock.
Okay.
And the reason why I have Martin Lawrence is because, like I said, we talked about the main thing is the main thing. It's just funny.
Right.
And Martin Lawrence is funny as shit. He's one of the cats that made me fall in love with comedy.
Yeah.
Again. Because, you know, I've been watching stand-up since, I say... Man, and I mean, I'll put you like this. I remember being in my grandmother's house in Louisville, Kentucky, on Tangley Lane, in the basement, listening to Richard Pryor, the stand-up, that nigga's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how long I've been into comedy. Right. And I'm thinking I was maybe 11, sneaking in the basement with my uncle.
His
old degenerate ass.
People always say, in the basement, shit like
that. Yeah, that's so, how we used to listen to that shit.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of shit, man. But yeah, that's how I got introduced to stand-up comedy, and I laughed. And I don't know why I understood it. I don't know how I understood it, but I understood it.
Funny is funny.
You know what I'm saying? So with that made me, that was my first comedy love. With Martin Lawrence, with the Def Comedy Jam and shit like that. That made me fall in love with comedy again. You know, him hosting the show and doing this thing and then branching off into doing other stuff, you know, with the movies and his stand-up movies and things like that. I mean, he really shaped the way I looked at stand-up comedy and made me really embrace it and love it all over again, you know, as a youngster, as a, you know, young, you know, a younger man.
Right.
Chris Rock's kind of the same thing, man. I was a little bit older, but at the same time, you know, watching his progression, You know, from doing, you know, small things to doing big things and listening to a stand up, he kind of does the Dave Chappelle thing, but in a different manner.
Yeah.
You know, as far as being, you know, it's kind of like a logical activism. Right. It's like, if you don't see this shit, this is what this shit really is. They say this, but it's really this.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I had to kind of give credit where credit is due because, you know, he pushed my thinking in an entirely different direction.
Right.
Had I been introduced to Chappelle a little bit earlier, those places would probably be switched.
I see.
You see what I'm saying? So
that's fair.
That's my 6A, 6B. Who's your number six?
No, we are. My six was Chappelle, so we had five. Okay, so
five. My so, five. I'll go five. Five is my five is Cedric the Entertainer.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you why. The reason being is that the same thing with Martin Lawrence. You know, I first got introduced to Cedric the Entertainer when he took over Comic View on BET.
Right,
he became sure the host. And I was like, well, actually, I saw him on Comic View first while D.L. Hughley was the host. And he killed that shit. And I was like, who was this dude? You know, I mean, he was as funny as hell. And then, you know, when D.L. moved on and did this thing and he started, you know, taking over doing, I was like, man, this dude is just funny. And I just became a fan. Yeah. And so he rose in my top 10 based on how much he's been in my life from an entertainment standpoint. From the time that he was introduced,
right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, it's always something every 2-3 years that he's has him in it. You know what I'm saying? That I enjoy. So from that particular perspective, you know, he's definitely, you know, worthy of my five spot, top five.
Yeah. Have you seen him on the, Last OG?
No, I haven't watched that show.
Oh,
yet.
Hilarious. I recommend it. But, yeah, I mean, he keeps work. Sid has been consistent. Seemed like he stays at it in the industry. So, you know, I agree with you. My number five, we're going to knock out these last five. My five is Chris Rock. So we've sort of close to where you had him.
Right.
Chris Rock, I've seen him twice live. Chris Rock can tell a joke. He basically, which I think what you said about Paul Mooney, he can tell a cracker, call a cracker, and they laugh. I mean, you know, it's
right.
It's just, but he comes with a very logical, I think you even had that adjective. He's very logical. He makes you think after the joke is over, like, wait a minute.
He's joking, but let's think about this for a second.
Right. And actually, if you stand back, and maybe with a lot of these comedians that we're naming, if you stand back after the fact, let's say you're driving home and you're like, you know what? Damn, you know, it's going to make me really think about a social concern, a social issue. And I think with Chris Rock, outside of him, you know, being Pookie in New Jack City and, you know, his little skits here and there, you know, in Boomerang, in the mailroom or whatever, and some of the movies that he was in, his voice is very recognizable. His voice is funny to me. Some people think his movies are corny. I like his movies. I mean, I don't know, CB3.
CB4.
Yeah.
And that top five shit was some bullshit, too.
Top five was disappointing. Yeah. But I think...
And so was that one, I Think I Love My Wife.
No, I like
that. You like this and I hated this.
Yeah, I like that.
That shit is just totally improper.
Nah, come on, man. But nonetheless, Chris makes you think... And he's just one of those guys that you're talking about Netflix, his Tambourine. I like Tambourine.
Yeah,
that's his latest thing.
Yeah, that shit was funny.
It's just, to me, it's adult comedy.
Right,
you know,
it
ain't a lot of buffoonery. It's like straight. I'm telling, you know, telling some stuff. Right. And it just makes me laugh, man. What's your five?
I already gave you five, man. Cedric the Entertainer. Number
My
four.
Bad. You go four.
Number four is Bernie Mac.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing him again. It's like, it's one of those things. I mean, you've given all the superlatives, you know, when you talked about him before. But when I saw him for the first time on Def Comedy Jam, it was a wrap. I remember the line that he had. He was like, man, I'm big boned, I'm heavy structured. He's like, I pull out my dick and it go dark in it.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking
the
like,
whole
yo,
crowd
just went crazy.
People in aisles.
And so, you know, I mean, I just really felt like, and the funny thing about it was that he was an older cat then.
That's what I said.
And he started late. So,
yeah.
You know, I like the fact that, you know, he was a stable family man.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he seemed very respectful.
Yeah, he was real respectful of, you know, of his home life and his relationships and his queen. I mean, that was just, you know, he was a man's man, but he happened to be a comedian and an actor as well. He put out some really good things out there, man. I really, really, really wish that he was still here to be able to bless us with more, because, I mean, he was definitely a genius and the delivery was just fucking out of this world.
Yeah.
You know, say he was like the mad black dad that you knew that you was gonna get your ass whooped if you didn't do what he was gonna do, but it was funny at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it still crushes me to think that he's not here. But he's definitely definitely a top five comedian. That shit will not change as long as I'm breathing, man. I miss his entertainment, and that is my number four.
No doubt. My number four is Martin Lawrence. Hands down, the Martin Show is the greatest thing that was ever created on TV to me from a sitcom standpoint. Today, I will look at it.
Culturally forward thinking when you think about this shit. When you look back on it now, when you look back and you think about the things that are not included in culture today.
Yeah.
And then you think about how he included all the shit that was going on in culture then. This shit was groundbreaking. I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is a really big thing. I put Martin, to be honest with you, man, I really put Martin in the same vein as A Different World and The Cosby Show.
Simply.
But I mean, primarily because of what they did for showing another side of the culture. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And constantly infusing Black culture within it, every single show. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, that was something that, I'll forever be grateful to Martin Lawrence for doing that, you know, for our culture, because and I think because of the production behind The Cosby Show in A Different World, it was a little more tame.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more political, per se.
Right, right.
But Martin was like really on that kind of like that public enemy type of culture thing. It was like, not that he was militant and things like that, but he dropped a lot of things, a lot of jewels of knowledge, and a lot of up-to-date 90s culture within the sitcom that was, it was crazy.
Yeah, and it showed his range for, playing different characters, too. I think he played like seven or eight characters on the show. Right. It showed his range personally of what he could do.
And that's even before we get to the movies. I mean, you talk about Bad Boys, you talk about Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
Yeah.
You talk about all the house party movies and shit, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know.
Big Mama. It just depends
that's what I'm saying. Big Mama. I mean, you know, he had a lot of different stuff.
He's funny, dude. Life.
Right. Movie, that's like what I'm life. I mean,
man, that shit was.
Definitely, definitely. You know, he's 6A, 6B, whatever for me. You know what I'm saying? So, he's right there. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like that the people above him on my list were, you know, they had a special, especially Bernie Mac, man, because I think, you know, with Bernie Mac, the potential, even in his 50s, he still had more left. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He still had more left.
But I think Martin's range, if we go, you know, Martin's range was a little bit longer, and his show.
Yeah, Bernie Mac wasn't going to dress up as no fat Black woman.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he hosted Def Comedy Jam. I think that's what drew me in.
And
I saw him at House Party, and he Do the Right Thing.
Martin made me fall in love with
he and Gina. I mean, you know, that just did it for me. That's it,
right.
So where we at? Three?
Yeah, three. My number three is D.L. Hughley.
Okay.
Man, and I'm the reason why I love D.L. Hughley so much, man, is because he reminds me of myself. I know he's a few years older than me, but our personalities are, in regards to our expression, are very similar. You know, he just happens to have a national platform. But I think we kind of think the same way on shit.
Okay.
And his natural delivery, you know, if you were to poll my family, they would say that, yeah, you guys are one of the same.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we just approach shit from that particular, you know, from a particular perspective, and I'm pretty much unapologetic about it and kind of like, fuck what you think.
Right, right.
On to the next thing. You still mad about some shit, I done moved on to something else.
I haven't gathered that about you, though.
the natural flow, man, like I said, I fell in love with his comedy style, with his comedic style. On Comic View, you know, he was a host there for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
All of his stand-ups have damn near made me piss on myself. I've laughed so hard. You know, at the Kings of Comedy Show. You know, I mean,
he's in Charlotte. Legend. A lot of these guys had, you know, shows in Charlotte. But the one he had in Charlotte, Come On Home.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite.
Because that was the Blumenthal.
Yeah.
I think it was the Blumenthal. Yep. Yeah. So, that's my number three, man.
Okay.
Who's number three?
My number three is probably most people's number one. I mean, my number three is Richard Pryor. And I have...
What?
I have Pryor at three. I mean, I love Pryor. Richard Pryor, I think every person on this list,
this motherfucker,
looked up to Pryor in some form of fashion. Got it from Pryor. I mean, that's what got them in the business. I think it goes without saying about Richard Pryor in terms of who he is and what he has done. Growing up, like you said, how you listening to records or whatever, my dad had records, and of course we saw him on movies, and he was the black comedian of the, you know, of my time, definitely. Shout out to him too for, I think he had 4 episodes of the Richard Pryor Show back in the late 70s. And he, just like you speak of Paul Mooney, who wrote for him, by the way, and Dick Gregory, pushed the envelope. Man, you're talking about in the late 70s. I think that's why they canceled this show. Because he was,
you know, there's a scene on this show where he's the first black president.
I was going to say that.
That shit was fucking hilarious.
That shit was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And if you
way just, ahead of his time,
the work he put in and the respect that he got, I mean, he lived up to what comedy is. I think his stand ups. I think it was on Sunset.
I got all them shit.
Yeah, I got like the CD case of whatever. But I think Richard, it's not so much I can say about Richard that people don't already know.
Young cats don't really know though, man. I mean, that's what I'm finding. A lot of these young cats, man, don't really understand the culture of, you know, of black comedy or anything. I mean, they just, these motherfuckers are Kevin Hart fans. You know what I'm saying? No hate, but I'm just saying, this is what they are.
Kevin's funny to me. He's just not on my list. He's funny to me, but I think where some comedians really try hard, mm-hmm. that's why I put Kevin in. He has to create, he has to be right. A person. Richard, and I think a lot of these guys on both of our lists are naturally
funny. Right.
It's just that natural, unapologetic, I'm just going to be me right. type of thing.
All right. So who do you have at your number 2?
You already said 3?
Yeah, D.L. Hughley's 3 for me.
Damn. 2 is Red Fox.
Okay.
Red Fox, if you YouTube right now, Red Fox, listen to some of his old stuff.
Red Fox is a dirty motherfucker, though, bro. He's
a dirty cat. He's just a natural, man. And like with Martin Lawrence, Sanford and the Son is like probably number 2.
As far as cultural value.
Right.
I didn't really get a chance to look at a lot of Red Fox, but I love Sanford and Son because it was at a point. I'm telling you, man, everybody know how old I am at this particular point, but I remember when I was I spent some time at my great grandmother's house on my dad's side. It used to be, I can't remember the night that it came on, but it was always Sanford and Son and then Chico and the Man used to come on after that. So with Freddie Prinze on the shit. So I always used to watch Sanford and Son and shit, and to me, Sanford and Son had more value than the stand-up stuff. Like I said, I wasn't really into his stand-up that much, but I do know that he was a funny dude. He was a real funny dude. And dirty as hell. He was a blue comic. There's nothing clean about him.
And the thing about Sanford's Son, he didn't like, he was in his early 50s when he played Fred Sanford, and he really didn't like playing that role because he was more of a, it wasn't him. It mm-hmm. really wasn't him. And
played the hell out of this shit.
He played that shit. And another thing, if people who know my father or whatever, he reminds me of my dad now. And it's just funny. His disposition and his no nonsense.
Man, you know what? Now that I think about it, when I was having a conversation with your dad, I that's Fred G. Sanford.
Dude.
That is Fred G. Sanford.
It's eye opening for me. Stanford, it's just
get
funny.
The fuck out of my way.
Yeah. But I put Red over Richard for really because Richard looked up to Red. I mean, it had to be that way, but either Richard could have been 1, 2, or 3 to be honest. But I put Red because I like Sanford and Son, and I know that he was Richard was his protege, and right. I'm just giving a nod to Red on that.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. Like I said, I mean, there's no doubt the comedic genius of Red Fox. I just wasn't. I wasn't into his stand-up. By the time I was starting to listen to stand-up, he had already he was already on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just didn't have the knowledge. I do now, but I didn't have the knowledge of, you know, at the time of his stand-up. And it didn't have that much of an impact on me as my number two, which is Eddie Murphy.
No doubt.
I mean, so what can you... What can you not say about what Eddie Murphy besides, I mean, my first introduction to Eddie Murphy was Saturday Night Live.
Most of us, yeah.
And that's, people don't understand. I mean, they talk about all these other motherfuckers that are on Saturday Night Live right now.
Nah, he made, made black
Saturday
people
Night
watch
Live might not Saturday be Night in Live. Existence still.
Yeah.
And I know Saturday Night, SNL is an institution that's been around since the early 70s or whatnot. And they've had like some of the greatest movie stars, comedic actors come through there.
Yeah.
But Eddie Murphy threw that shit on its side. Dude. And it was fucking crazy. So, you know, from network TV to stand-up movies, which he actually only did, what, two?
Two what?
Two stand-up movies. I think Eddie Murphy only did like two stand-up movies, like Delirious and Raw. Yeah.
That's all I can think
of. But then, he did all of his movies and things like that. But if you want to listen to what comedic genius sounds like, young people in particular, watch Delirious.
Hilarious.
I mean, watch Delirious. If you want to see what comedic genius is,
right,
watch Delirious. You know what I'm saying? It's old enough to where you can get some classic stuff, but it's new enough to where you be like, yo, this dude was really ahead of his time at the time that he was doing the stand-up. It's not enough superlatives really to shower on Eddie Murphy, in my particular opinion, man. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But who's your number two?
No, we already did two. Okay. So I'll just piggyback off you for number one. My number one was Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
So, you know, not to restate what you said, but just to add too, I like his movies are probably some of my favorites, like Coming to America.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
Trading Places.
48 Hour Series.
Boomerang.
I mean,
even Nutty Professor. I like those.
Yeah.
I mean, so everything he touches, I mean, later on, you know, he started getting some different roles or whatever, but I think...
Dude is donkey on Shrek, dude.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I'm saying? I
mean, his prime...
Right.
I think if you look at everybody on both our lists and say, in their primes, what did they... Like, how did they touch the comedic world? You know what I'm saying? I think Eddie, that's why I have him. I toyed with he and Richard, to be honest. Richard, and Red Fox. And I said, nah, I think for me growing up and really looking, standing back and say, what has he done for the industry of comedy from movies and stand-up and whatever? I think he put more into it, from a range standpoint.
I don't know, man. That's debatable. I can see why you would say that.
Over Richard. Richard number one.
Yeah, Richard Pryor's number one for me. And, you know, you got to look at... Richard Pryor did movies, too.
Yeah, Stir Crazy, Toy.
Right. You know, he started movies with Bill Cosby and shit. I think they were like, what, Uptown Saturday Night or something like that. So he's been around... He was around for a while doing this. You know, he had that movie with Jackie, you know, the Toy is what it was, Jackie Gleason, with that Blue Streak, and so, you know, a whole lot of other shit with, what was the guy's name, Gene Wilder,
right,
you know, he had some like major comedic hits just on the big screen. But from a comedy standpoint, it's hard for me to put anybody above the first comedic voice that I ever heard. And like I said, the first comedic album I ever listened to was That Nigga's Crazy. at 9108 Tangley Lane, Louisville, Kentucky. In my grandmother's basement.
Yes.
On an old ass...
Probably an 8-track or something.
It was an old ass phono, you know? That made me like totally, totally love comedy. And there's no debating about that.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, I think he took a little bit of the people that were in, you know, in his contemporary space, like Paul Mooney and some other people that were, you know, very socially active, and used some of that as juice for his comedic fodder. And he was very socially conscious. He always talked about police brutality. He always talked about lack of opportunity or taking advantage of opportunity. He talked about the use of the word nigger, because right. he even said that he wasn't going to use it anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, to fit into your criteria for consciousness, I would give him the nod for that.
And when you talk about being in your prime, if you're in your prime, how do you affect that particular genre? He had just as much effect in his prime as Eddie Murphy did. But Eddie Murphy will tell you, if we were blessed enough to have Eddie Murphy on this podcast, he would tell you. He will tell you, because he said it. He was like, if you're not stealing from Richard Pryor, you're not really trying to be good at comedy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that he would give the nod to Richard Pryor. No doubt. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, he would.
You know, and anybody, just as a comic, if you're not trying to get anything out of what Richard Pryor has done, you are not trying to be a good comic.
Yeah.
You're not trying to be a good comic. Don't emulate Kevin Hart. Don't emulate all these other motherfuckers, these new contemporary dudes, because they're not adding anything to the culture, in my eyes. They're getting their money. And you know how I feel about black men getting their money in a legal way. Get your motherfucking money. I don't give a fuck if Kevin Hart make 50 bad movies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go see at least 10 of them motherfuckers, because I support him. You know what I'm saying? He's getting his fucking money.
Yeah.
You go do that shit. But he's not that fucking funny to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He's just not. You know, I mean, that's just what it is. But Richard Pryor, man, every fucking show that he's ever made has made me laugh. Yeah. Every fucking movie that he's ever done has made me laugh.
Yeah.
Every time he had an interview where he talked about his real life experiences in his battle with drug addiction, sex addiction, whatever he talked about,
was
funny. Everything that he did was fucking funny, and it was real. He was trapped inside of his greatness. He was so great that he couldn't even escape his fucking greatness.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know,
yeah, he definitely had a story, man.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, when you're that great, he was so far ahead of his contemporaries, that it took another generation of motherfuckers to actually catch up. People didn't start catching up to this dude until Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was that fucking far ahead. So I feel you on the Eddie Murphy thing. It could be 1-2, 2-1. But like I said, Richard Pryor was so fucking far ahead. It created such a big gap, and so many people stole from him, you know, in a respectful way, as far as presentation, you know, delivery,
yeah,
you know, consciousness and things like that. So many people stole from him that it's kind of respect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's
my
thing, man. I do want to say something real quick, though, man. Let's talk real quick before we let everybody go. Let's talk about who's missing. And I'm going to give you a quick list of people that I got missing. One on honorable mention, one in the top 10.
Okay.
Two dead guys, rest in peace, that I do not have on here that I feel like would have cracked the top 10 had they lived out. And, you know, I mean that in the most respectful way possible. Number one is Robin Harris.
Right. I thought about him.
That's a funny motherfucker.
Yeah, he is funny.
And number two is Patrice O'Neal.
Okay.
That motherfucker had me about the, that was a funny dude.
He was funny, but he wouldn't have, I think even if he lived out, he wouldn't have been my top 10. But.
You don't think so?
I saw him stand up maybe twice.
Given 10 or 15 years of solid work, because you couldn't deny, because he died when he was really just hitting his stride. He hadn't actually really arrived yet.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that this dude, because he reminded me so much of D.L. Hughley that it wasn't even funny. He was almost like a street D.L. Hughley. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I really feel like that he would have, had he had the opportunity, would have, if not cracked my top 10, been really, really fucking close.
Okay.
Really, really close. I mean, because his shit was strong. The force was strong in that one. If, you know, from a comedic Jedi perspective, he had the force. You know what I'm saying? He had it. Whatever the fuck it is, that motherfucker had it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and obviously, you know, hindsight's 2020. You can look and you can speculate, but I just feel like that if given the opportunity, that he would have delivered, because he was a writer as well. He wrote for a lot of motherfuckers too.
Okay. So, I think, you're right.
So, I can't remember the TV show that he wrote for, but it was a big TV show at the time that he used to write for. If anybody knows, you can hit me up on the text line, 704-946-6060. Let me know. Fact check it, if you will. Let me know. Also, who's missing? Kevin Hart is missing. Tracy Morgan is missing. Yeah. Mike Epps is missing. I'm just gonna go down the line.
Yeah.
I got Kevin Hart fatigue, bro. I don't think Kevin Hart is a natural. He doesn't appeal to me as a natural comedian. I like his movies more than I like his stand up. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, so and that's why I say
I like his early
stand up is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. When before he arrived. And I don't want to sound disparaging about it because I respect the grind because this motherfucker works his ass off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so I respect that. But just, you know, just it's subjective. I just don't think a lot of his shit is funny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I watched Jumanji with my daughter and that shit was kind of fucking funny.
Oh, yeah.
That shit was kind of funny.
Okay.
But from a stand-up comedian standpoint, I liked his early shit. But then after that, it just kind of... But I respect what he did to him, man. This dude was selling out stadiums. I mean, he went out and
he was getting money. Respect somebody's hustle. Yeah. It's just a matter of if at the end of the day, if they make you laugh and it doesn't have to be, you know. I think he's starting to be known more for his movies than his stand up now, even though he still does stand up. But he's become cookie cutter a little bit. It's like, you know, the same character.
Right.
The same antics. It's like, okay, all right. Give me some range.
I hate saying, yeah, you didn't make my top 10. You didn't even make my honorable mentions when I truly respect what you do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want to come off like I just think that he's, you know, that he's trash because I don't think
I really think
that he's waiting for, and this movie that he has coming out might be that next step.
I heard his interview. He said, this is the most range. This is the best movie.
I mean, it might be the next thing. And I hope that it is for him because I feel like that, you know, that his particular type of shtick, if you will, has a good place on the screen. I just think that when you do it live on stage so many times, it's hard to really capture people's, you know, attention. People still gonna go buy the ticket because he is who he is. And he's crossed over well. I respect it. I wish him nothing but the best, you know, going forward. But he's just not a top 10 or honorable mention comedian.
Yeah.
To me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's an entity and this motherfucker's a force. You know what I'm saying? But as a comedian, I just don't see it, man. Tracy Morgan, man, he never really got out of that street nigga kind of.
Dude.
Damn, I just $10 in the nigga jar.
Hey.
He just never got out of that particular mold for me.
He'll forever be hustle man to me.
Right. And it's hard. I mean, he's a victim of his own of his own success in regards to how he played that particular character.
I don't like his stand up. I like him on Last OG though. You gotta check that out.
You're the second person to tell me about
Last OG is funny. It's funny, man.
So and Mike Epps is kind of the same.
Dude, that's the one I miss.
Yeah, I look at it like this, man.
I like Mike.
He's kind of like, I like him too, but I feel like that he's almost going to end up like Tracy Morgan. You know, where is the, I thought that him being in what was that movie he was in? It was the Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
I thought that would be his turning
catapult
point.
Or whatever.
Yeah, but going. I mean, his...
He's good. You know, he's supposed to play Richard Pryor.
And I'm just saying, I don't know if that's going
to happen. I think he'll do well. I like him in movies. I like him in movies. I actually think, honestly,
I don't know, bro. Newsflash,
I should have had Mike Epps in my honorable mention. Not top 10, but my honorable mention.
Yeah, he almost
so
made my
add
honorable
him
mention.
To an honorable
I just
mention.
Keep, I just keep seeing. I just keep seeing Day-Day.
Which is a
classic character.
But he's grown. Have you seen him live? I've seen him live.
I haven't.
Two, three
I've
times.
Seen his stand-ups. I've seen his, you know, all, yeah, I've seen all of the stand-ups, but I haven't seen him live.
Yeah, I mean, a live stand-up. He's all right. He reminds me of DL in terms of his quick wit.
Yeah.
Humor. He seems like a real. I saw an interview. Who was it? Breakfast Club interview. I think he and Kevin Hart, speaking of, it's funny you bring both of them up. They sort of been bumping heads for years. And I think he sort of...
I do think Mike Epps is funnier than Kevin Hart, though.
Okay.
I give you that. I do think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's more natural. This is top 10 comedians, not top 10 actors.
Right.
So, as a comedian, he didn't impact me enough to make honorable mention or top 10. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of people doing the type of comedy that he's doing. But there's not a lot of people doing smart comedy like Michael Che. You see what I'm saying?
I don't even know Michael Che.
He does the weekend report on Saturday Night Live.
Oh man.
He's funny as shit.
I don't really watch shit. You may as well put Keenan on there.
He's funny as shit, though. I'm just telling you. I mean, so and
may as well put Jay Farrell on there. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
But I don't know.
But again, that's who's missing, man. Was there anybody else that at least, you know, in my mind I thought that those were notable omissions, but that I felt like the people would be blowing the text line up about, you ain't got Kevin Hart on it.
I give you two clean ones.
Okay.
Sinbad and Bill Cosby.
Well, you know, we not ever gonna put Bill Cosby on shit.
I ain't gonna put Bill Cosby on shit, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Even though, like I said, I give respect to the impact that
you're gonna take away what he did for comedy, the Cosby Show. Different world, his stand-ups, going back to the 60s, just because he was allegedly accused. He's in jail, so you can breathe. He's in deep. They got him. I'm just saying. You're going to take away that just because you don't like him.
Did I stutter?
You're going to take away that his... His
he's
talent.
Not, he's not gonna make any.
How do you take away talent from a crime?
Can't do it.
An alleged crime.
Can't do it, bro. We had a conversation about this shit before. I can't do it.
But you just said earlier, who did you just talked about? Kevin Hart. Say, hey, you know, I don't really, you know, the guy didn't really do it for me, but I ain't gonna knock his hustle. Well, Bill's hustle was
drugging chicks and
allegedly.
Yeah, okay.
But that's we go back another show.
Yeah. No, bro. Bill ain't gonna be on there.
What about Sinbad?
My whole thing is I'm just gonna say this about Bill. I mean, out of respect for, and I ain't even gonna go there, man. The nigga just ain't on there.
What about Sinbad, man? Sinbad not funny.
I think I may have missed the boat on that one, man.
Sinbad is funny.
I may have missed the boat on that. And I've seen him live twice. I think I may have missed the boat on that one.
Yeah. Sinbad, I apologize, throw him Sinbad. Number 12 honorable mention Sinbad. How about that?
You know, I got all these goddamn. Seriously, on some real shit though. I may have missed the boat on Sinbad. I should have put him up there a little bit higher.
Sinbad don't really get his props though.
Yeah, he really don't. But he was on a different world too.
He's actually on Rail Show, which is a horrible show.
Yeah, that's a horrible show, but Sinbad's funny on that shit, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's funny as hell.
He has some funny lines. And Rail is actually funnier than that show.
Yeah. I honestly think that Rail, in about, I need to give him, honestly, about another 5 or 6 years to keep grinding out. I think that he's going to make a greater impact. I really think that he's going to learn from this shit that's going on with this particular show now and do more. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, he's already making his way into major movies and shit like that. So he has, you know, he obviously has the appeal of, you know, people that are casting and directing and producing stuff. So I wish him the best on that. I think that, because like you said, on stage, he's a funny ass dude.
Yeah. He's funny and you know, like he was funny in Get Out,
Yeah, he's funny and smart. So I mean, I really hope that we see something a little bit more. I don't know if he's bound by the limits of what television provides, but we'll see. I think maybe, you know, there's some better things coming. I got confidence in him. He's gonna have some better things coming. And man, I think that's gonna be it, man.
I'm sure it's a host that we're missing.
I'm pretty sure. Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, please let us know who we're missing or, you know, give us your top 10 and vibe in with us. As usual.
Yeah, we don't want your top 10, man, because this is, I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So you can give me your top 10, but you're wrong, goddamn it, you're wrong.
Yeah, okay. And I want to go on record and say this is probably the first top 10 show that we've had where Fresh did not say your list is going to be fucked up.
Right.
He didn't even start with it.
Right. So, but I'm going to end with it, though. So, you know what I'm saying? But actually, you know what, though, man? I mean, our lists are so close, I could just... I'll just say that you probably
the closest. Yeah, it's probably the closest
that we've had. So, yeah. But man, shouts out to all the comedians out there, man. Trying to do, especially you know the female comedians out there. We might have to do a top 10 you know female comedians show as well, man. Because they deserve their own shine, man. And there's a lot of women out there that are truly some funny ass chicks, man.
Funny.
So we'll come back and we'll do those later, man. And like I said, man, I mean, people in my family, man, say that I'm missing my calling in regards to stand up and shit, man. And I always say that shit takes so much talent. I would bomb. You know, I would bomb. You know, shouts out to, you know, some comedians that I do know personally. E. Foster Williams, man, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Jay Fever, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Billy Sorrells out of Houston, Texas. That's his grandfather was my football coach.
Damn.
Funny ass dudes.
Did you wear leather helmets?
Yeah, man. Leather helmets, no face mask back in the day, bro. So, but yeah, those are funny dudes that are out there literally cutting their teeth doing it.
No doubt.
Having success at it, man. I wish them the best, man. So I definitely want to, you know, shout out people that I know that are in the game and I know that are paying dues like a motherfucker and then I know are taking chances, you know, trying to be better at the craft. Shit that I'm not doing. So I fully respect it. And I definitely want to give a nod to those brothers, too. And so that's what it is, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, man.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.